I think that, yeah, that's working. Thank you very much. I've got some bookmark here. Bookmark from Crossway College. But they are not going to be enough for so many people. So I'm going to pass them out to you. If you want one, grab one. You can put them in your Bible. If you don't want one, pass them to your neighbor. Maybe he or she wants one, and he or she can put them in their Bibles. Now, why do I gave you a bookmark? Because I had a few left over. I went to Sydney yesterday and had a whole pile, but a few came back. So I thought I might as well give them out to you this morning. But more importantly, it reminds us of a great need. Matthew chapter 9:37, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. All over the world. I just spent 3 weeks in China. Huge needs everywhere you go, but there are no workers. Same in Australia. Everywhere you go, there is need for workers. The workers are either very few or, more often than not, non-existent. Therefore, Jesus has given us a command. Ask, pray, the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So it's a bookmark, you can put that in your Bible, so you can find your place. But also it's a reminder to pray. That God will raise up more workers for his harvest, more workers for his kingdom, more workers for his church. I'll put this aside, because I've got this thing over here. Good. If you have your Bible this morning, please turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. The book of Acts, verses 1 to 11. Just a few weeks ago, probably a month ago, we celebrated, we remembered the death of the Lord Jesus. Good Friday. And then, of course, a few days later, we celebrated, we remembered the resurrection. What happened after the resurrection? Remember, Jesus still stayed with his disciples for how many days? For 40 days. Jesus still remained with his disciples for 40 days. He taught them many things, and then he gave them a very important command, a very important promise. And after that, of course, we had the ascension. This morning, we want to look at that. Acts chapter 1. Verses 1 to 11. If you have your Bible, let's read the passage. This is Luke writing. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The sixth. So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This morning I want to share with you verses 6 to 8. And the title of our message, our sermon this morning, is Lessons for Christian Life. Lessons for Christian Life, or if you may prefer, Lessons for Mission. Lessons for Mission. Let's read again verse 6 to verse 8. "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" Jesus came. Jesus did a lot of things. Then at the end, he died for our sins on the cross. The third day, he was raised again from the dead. And then he ascended into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again. But in the meantime, what are you and I supposed to do? Jesus came, but then he left. Or so it would appear. But what about Christians? What about the disciples? What about those who have come to believe in him? We are still here. You are still here. What are we supposed to do with our lives? Why are we still here? Where's Jesus? Jesus has gone. He has ascended into heaven. What about us? What about you? What about me? Why are we still here? Oh, the answer is obvious. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for you and for me still being here on earth. God didn't save you so that your soul may just go to heaven and that's the end of it. No. Of course, that's very true. And that's great. But God saved you for a much bigger purpose. God has a task for you to do. And only you can do that task. I can't do it. Derek can't do it. Only you can fulfill that task that God has for you. In other words, how are we to live our Christian lives here on earth? Lessons for the Christian life, or lessons for mission. We have 3 points this morning from our passage. Note 3 things. First of all, note the time of the Father. The time of the Father. Secondly, note the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, note the witness of the Lord Jesus. The witness of the Lord. 3 things. The time of the Father, the power of the Spirit, and the witness of Jesus. For you to live your Christian life, you need to be aware, you need to know about these 3 things. The time of the Father, the power of the Spirit, and the witness of the Lord. That is what you and I should be doing until Jesus comes back again. So there are 3 factors. There are 3 factors here. There's a time factor. There's a power factor. And then there is a witness factor, or there is a task there is a task. Basically, everything we do has these three factors, isn't it? If you have an exam, for uni students, school students, exams are coming up, isn't it? I know my son, my daughter, they are at uni, they are beginning to become very nervous, you know. Exams are coming up. Now, if you want to do well in an exam, basically these three things, isn't it? There's a time factor. When does the exam start? Not today, hopefully. Maybe in a few weeks' time you have an exam. There's a date set for it, isn't it? There's a date. And then maybe you have 1 hour or 2 hours to do your examining. There's a time factor. There is what else? There is a power factor. You must have the ability to write the exam, to do the exam. But then thirdly, of course, there is a task. You must know what you are doing. Hopefully you know the answer to the question, isn't it? If people, if your teacher asks you a question about economics, depending what exam you are doing, you know, if the teacher, if you have an economics exam, and there is a question about macroeconomics, don't write all about biology and the structure of the cell, you know. That's not the task. So you also need to know the task, isn't it? In anything we do, basically we have those three factors. If you want to run a race, 100 meters, you have to wait for the time, isn't it? You can't start before the gun goes, before the clock. Then you must have the ability to run as fast as you can. But also, the task, you must reach the goal, the finishing line is over there. You must know. So don't run that way. Yeah. Our Christian lives. Why are you here? Why aren't you not in heaven yet? There are three factors for you to be concerned about. You must know something about the time of the Father, the power of the Spirit, and the witness of the Lord. First of all, verse 6, the time of the Father. So when they met together, the disciples, they asked him, Jesus, a question. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? This is amazing. After Jesus was raised from the dead, he still spent 40 days with his disciples, every day teaching them. Wouldn't that be great? Imagine that, a church camp. Our church camp is coming up in September, October, isn't it? We only have 2-3 days in a very short. And our teachers are just so, since maybe not. Imagine going on camp with Jesus for 40 days. It would be tremendous, isn't it? What did Jesus teach them? How does Luke summarize Jesus' message? Did you notice verse 3? Verse 4? Verse 3 there? Jesus, over a period of 40 days, he spoke about what? What did Jesus talk about? He spoke about the kingdom of God, isn't it? He spoke to them about the kingdom of God for how many days? For 40 days. All about the kingdom of God. Now, and then when they met together, what does the disciples ask him? What about the kingdom of Israel, isn't it? You see that? Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They were always wondering about that. You know, Jesus was always talking about the kingdom of God. What were they thinking of? Oh dear, you know, what a missed opportunity. Jesus was teaching them all these great things, but their minds, it seems, were on something totally different. Now, probably we must confess, we all had experiences like that, isn't it? Jesus talking about that, but in fact we were somewhere else, isn't it? I hope you're not somewhere else this morning. Jesus was talking to them about the kingdom of God, but they were more concerned about what? the kingdom of Israel. You know, they were always wondering about this. On more than one occasion asking him about Israel. Why do you think they were so concerned about the kingdom of Israel? Maybe you may be aware, in the first century, Israel, of course, were dominated, were controlled by the Roman Empire. So a foreign power were governing Israel. And many Jews really did not like that. Many Jews were saying, we need to revolt. We need to overthrow the power of the Romans. And in fact, some Jews already tried to do that. Now and then there were little revolts, some skirmishes, few people died, things like that. The times were becoming tenser and tenser and tenser. What about the disciples? What about followers of Jesus? What must be their view or their response to some of these questions? Should disciples stand up for the kingdom of Israel? Take up the sword? Overthrow the Roman powers? Establish their own independent kingdom? We can excuse them. You know, they were concerned about Israel. After all, it was their country. Maybe also, obviously, if there is going to be a revolt, if there is going to be instability, war, then that, of course, will affect their families. And they have kids, like Kenneth. You know, are the kids going to be able to go to school tomorrow? You know, what about my company? What about my business? You know, what about my house? Should I buy a house or not? You know, see, these were real questions. The disciples were concerned, they were worried about these things. I don't know about you. What are your concerns this morning? Okay, this morning, of course, we are at church. We talk about what? We talk about the kingdom of God, isn't it? The gospel. But what is really on your heart? Oh dear, in just a few weeks time I have to hand in my assignment. You know, when is he going to finish, you know, so I can go home and study, prepare? Or, I really want to buy another house, dear. You know, I need to ring the agent, set up an appointment tomorrow, 9 o'clock. You know. Or maybe, am I going to lose my job? And the company is a bit tight this week. Am I going to lose my job? What about my kids? Will they be able to go to university? Or maybe here, yeah, maybe we've got perhaps concerns that is troubling us this morning. Maybe we've got bigger questions. You know, if you like me and Derek, we don't worry about our kids. You know, we worry about the big questions. Who's going to be the next government in Australia, isn't it? Are the Liberals going to come into power or not, you know? We worry about the big things, you know. Our wives worry about the insignificant things, isn't it? No, not quite. Are we going to have a new government? You know, what is the economy going to do? What about our church? Are we going to have a new building or not? Wouldn't it be great if we have a new building? We're very anxious about all these things, dear. The disciples were anxious about these things. Lord, are you going at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Of course, we can understand that they had these questions. We have these questions too. And wouldn't it be great to know? Next year we're going to have a huge new building. Wouldn't that be great to know that? Or next year we're still going to be here. Well, what is the stock market going to do? Well, that will be handy knowledge, isn't it? What is the church going to be like? If you're interested in mission, perhaps, what's going to happen in China? What is going to happen in Africa? What is going to happen in Thailand? in Burma, is there going to be a revival? Note, Jesus gives his disciples a very clear answer. Note verse 7. Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." Isn't that great? This is a very clear answer, isn't it? Lord, are you going at this time going to give me a better job? Are you going at this time going to give me that promotion? Or that new house? What's going to happen next year? What is Jesus' answer? What about the church? Are we going to have a great church of 5,000 people in 2 years' time? What does Jesus say? "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." Isn't that a great answer, Derek? first up, it doesn't sound very great, does it? But I think it's a tremendous answer. What does the disciples want to know? They want to know God's timetable. What did Jesus tell them? No, it is not for you to know. In other words, they are not supposed to know. They cannot know. And also, they don't need to know God's timetable. Of course, God has his timetable. Yes, there are times and seasons, there are dates that God has set, certainly, by his own authority. God has everything in control. God knows what is going to happen. But the disciples, they don't know what the future holds. Not just they don't know, they cannot know. They're not supposed to know. They don't need to know. So Jesus is not going to tell them. Isn't that great? I think that's great. Congregation, there are many lessons here for the Christian life, isn't it? One big lesson here is if you want to live the Christian life well, if you want to do mission well, we need to learn how to live with uncertainties. We need to learn how to live with uncertainties. This morning, Kenneth shared, he's got 3 kids, he's got a job, he's got a wife. He doesn't know what their future holds. That's true. I don't know what the future holds for my kids. I don't know what the future holds for Crossway College or for our church. Yeah. There are many things in the Christian life we simply don't know. We need to learn to live with a certain amount of uncertainty. That is a big lesson to learn. God, what is going to happen next year? God, most probably, I don't know, but most probably, God is not going to tell you. There is uncertainty with respect to this life. Another lesson we can learn is we have to be humble. We have to be humble. We don't know the future. Yeah, of course we know the future. Jesus is going to come back. Jesus is going to establish his kingdom, no doubt. But apart from that, in detail, we don't know the future. We need to be humble and acknowledge that. Recognize it. But then another lesson here, and I think probably perhaps this is the greatest lesson. And this is what Jesus is telling his disciples here. They don't need to know. I think this gives us liberation. This gives us freedom. For you to live your Christian life well, for you to accomplish the task that God has for you, you don't need to know what is going to happen tomorrow. That's not important for you to fulfill the purpose of your life, for you to be engaged in mission. You don't need to know if tomorrow is going to be revival or if tomorrow is going to be persecution. Tomorrow, if you will have a greater job or if you will lose your job. In order for you to live your Christian life, that is neither here nor there. So, in other words, you don't need to be anxious about it. You don't need to worry about your kids, about your job, about your church, or about anything. All of these things is in God's hands. All of these things are in God's control. You can relax about it. God knows what is going to happen. We don't need to worry about those things. Now, this is the first point. The time of the Father, we cannot know. The time that God has determined what is going to happen next, we cannot know. We don't need to know. That's the first lesson from our passage. The second lesson, the second point. But we don't know the future. But, and this is very important, we can receive what? The power of the Holy Spirit. This is our second point. Note verse 8. You don't know the times, but then in verse 8 Jesus tells him, but. And this is a in Greek, sorry, I hope you don't laugh at this. In Greek there are big buts and there are small buts. There are two different words for but. There's a big word, it's a big contrast, and there's a small word, very little contrast. This one here is a big but. You don't know the future. But this thing you need to know. And what is that? Verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will receive power. You may not know the future, but this thing you will have. And what is that? The power of the Holy Spirit. What is our task? Our last point is our task. We're not there yet. But for us, in order to accomplish our task, we don't need to know everything. But we do need to have the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we will receive. Isn't that great? So, what is Jesus telling his disciples here? Don't be so concerned about what's going to happen to Israel. Whether or not Israel is going to become an independent country again or not. Don't worry about that. Christians really should not... Yeah, sorry, I hope I'm not saying the wrong thing here. But Christians should not become too over the top, too much involved, too concerned with politics or economics. That's not our main task. Of course, we should be salt and light everywhere where we are. But there's a much more important thing that we need to be concerned about. And that is whether or not we have power. The power of the Holy Spirit to carry out our task. For us to live the Christian life, we cannot do it in our own strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be desperate to have that power. Of course, we know a few days later, Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They all were filled with the Holy Spirit. Power. the church receives power. What happens when you have power? What does Jesus mean here that you will have power? What in practice, in reality, what does that mean for your life? When we look at Acts, the answer is very clear. First of all, if you have power, you will have a burden, or you will have a vision, or you will have a dream for the kingdom of God, for the Christian life. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 verse 17. Here we read, in the last days God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And what will be the result? Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And we see how that happens in Acts. So in other words, if you have the Spirit, what is going to happen? You are going to have a vision. You are going to have a dream. Or you are going to have a burden for the kingdom of God, for the Christian life. In Acts, we have many examples of that. Philip, you know, he had to preach the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch. Peter had to preach the gospel to the Gentiles in Joppa. He had the vision. Paul had to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, the Greeks. He had another vision, another burden. It's different, but it all concerns the kingdom of God. It all concerns the gospel. This morning, do you have the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you have a burden? Do you have a vision? Do you have a dream? Now, it's all different. My dream, my burden, I'm very idealistic, very naive, is to go where the gospel has never been preached. To establish a church there. I had this burden, I had this vision since I was 18 years old. Every year this burden, this vision is increased. Someone may have another burden or another vision. Maybe for our church. I really have a great dream that our church can become a multicultural church where the Word of God is being taught, where people's needs are being met, where people are equipped to be salt and light, sent out to be missionaries in the world. Is that your burden, your vision? A dream for you. You're too old to have a vision. No, I'm sorry. I'm dreaming, but now I'm dreaming too. But for the young men, women, what must you have? You must have visions. Visions and burdens and dreams comes in all shapes and sizes. You know, maybe your burden is for your family to become a Christian family, to be a refuge, if you like, for your own kids, but maybe for others as well, to come and share in the blessings of the covenant. Maybe your burden or your vision is to be a light in your workplace, there to make the presence of the kingdom a reality. Okay, so burdens and dreams are all different. It's a sign of the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit, you will understand God's will, God's intentions. Let's look at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Note verse 3 there. They are looking for deacons. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. They are full of the Spirit, hence they have wisdom. They know God's mind on things. Notice verse 10. Stephen is preaching, but they could not stand against his wisdom or the Spirit by which he spoke. The power of the Spirit will give you insight into God's plan, into God's intentions for the world, into God's intentions for your family, for the church. Finally, the power of the Spirit will give you boldness, will give you courage to be a witness. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And the result? And they spoke the word of God boldly. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll be courageous in your family to be a witness. At school or at work to be a witness. Perhaps even at church to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. What is going to happen tomorrow? We don't know. You know, are you going to get a raise? Or are you going to be unemployed? We don't know. Life is full of uncertainties. But this we can know. You will receive power. You will have a greater burden, a greater vision for the kingdom of God. You will know God's will, God's intention, and you will have boldness, courage to share the gospel with others. How do you get this power? You have to believe in Jesus. You have to believe in Jesus. Jesus died for our sins on the cross. He was raised from the dead for our righteousness. Now he is the Lord of glory. He sits at the right hand of God. You have to believe in Jesus, firstly. Secondly, you have to pray. Remember the disciples? Before they received the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, they prayed. They prayed together. The church had a prayer meeting. You have to pray. Pray with others. And then thirdly, you have to wait. Remember what Jesus told them? Don't go from Jerusalem. Wait. Wait until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to believe in Jesus. We have to pray. We have to wait. Don't run ahead of God's time. There's a task to do, but we need to be empowered before we can do that task. Wait. Don't rush. And how long do they need to wait? How long would you need to wait before you get the power of the Holy Spirit? Remember, when Jesus ascended into heaven, how long did they wait? 10 days, isn't it? A week and a half. Not very long. Is God eager to give the Holy Spirit? Very eager. How long did they have to wait before the kingdom was restored to Israel? 2,000 years, isn't it? 2,000 years they had to wait. So it is very good, you know. Jesus didn't tell them to wait for that. You know. They had to wait for 2,000 years. How long are we going to wait for power? It won't be 2,000 years. A few days. God is very eager to empower us for His task. The final point this morning is the witness of the Lord. The time we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
but we will have power.
But what must we do? What is our main task as Christians? Note verse 8 again, Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my Jesus. You will be my witnesses. This is our task, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter who you are. You may be a pastor, an elder, a deacon, or an ordinary member. That is your task. Is to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. Congregation, this is the greatest privilege. This is also the greatest challenge. If you look at all people on earth, in history, which person is the most excellent? Which person is the most precious? Which person is the most worthy? Which person is the most blessed? Of course, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Which person has brought the world the most blessing and advantage in history? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our task is to be His witnesses. This is a tremendous challenge. Why is it a challenge? Because to be Jesus' witness does not just mean that you have to tell other people about Jesus. By the way, Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He was born in Bethlehem, and He did all those things, and that's it. That is witnessing to Jesus. But it is not being a witness of Jesus. There's a subtle difference here. What is the difference? Being my witnesses or witness to me. Being my witnesses is what? When people see you, they see the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is not just telling other people about Jesus, but it is actually when people see you, when they experience you, they get to know something about the Lord Jesus Christ. So when people look at your life, they can recognize or they can see the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a great challenge. This morning, when you look at my life, what do you see? Oh dear, I better not ask this question. this morning I'm telling you all about Jesus. And of course, that's good. But I really should be doing something more than just that. You know, I should be exhuming, if you like, the odor, the aroma, the presence of the Lord Jesus Himself. Of course, I'm not there yet. But this really is what the text is talking about. It's not just telling other people about Jesus, but to live out the life of Jesus in the presence of your family, in the presence of your classmates, at your workplace, at church. So when people bump into you, they bump into Jesus. So in fact, sometimes you don't even need to say anything. They'll just know. By your attitude. By your action. They'll just know. This is power. Congregation. Of course, we are all fallen, broken human beings. But you will receive power to enable you to carry out that task. So when people see you, they will know something about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what a great honor, what a great privilege. But also what a great assurance, because this, I believe, is a prophecy. This is a promise. It will happen. You'll receive power and you will be. It is not perhaps, maybe. No. You will be my witnesses. Isn't it great? What is driving you this morning? What are your concerns? What are your passions? What is a central thing in your heart? Maybe it's that new job, or the old job, or your exams, or your tomorrow you have to see the doctor or the dentist. You know, is it going to be painful or not? And of course, we are all human beings. You know, we are weak. But it should be something more substantial. It should be the kingdom of God. It should be the gospel. It should be the Lord Jesus Christ. To follow Him, to be His disciples, to live out His life in your context. There's a tremendous encouragement here. You will be my witnesses. Where? Everywhere. In Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and even unto the ends of the world. So where will we be witnesses? Here and everywhere. It must start at church. Do we need witnesses of Jesus at church? I believe so. I have a lot of growing to do. I need to be a better witness of the Lord Jesus at church. We should start here. But then also Judea, Samaria, we shouldn't stay here. Our families. You've got a great sign up there, isn't it? Once you leave the building, auditorium here, you are entering your mission field. Judea, Samaria, when you go home, in your family, when you wash the dishes, you are to be the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you put up the rubbish, you are to be the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. At work, at school, when you do your exams. But then not just there, unto the ends of the earth. It's great that we can support so many missionaries. The Snowdens, Michelle, I just note the newsletter this morning. All over the world. This is our task. This is our responsibility. We all are to be involved through our prayers, through our encouragement, through our giving. And perhaps maybe some of us may even go. May go to other places to be the witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Christian life. There are three factors there. First factor is the time of the Father. Uncertainty. But that's not important. You don't need to know what's going to happen tomorrow in order to carry out the task. What you do need is the power of the Holy Spirit. And the task is to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if tomorrow is going to be good or bad in terms of politics or economy or your job or the church. That's neither here nor there. The only thing we need is the power of the Holy Spirit. and then we will be a witness. It doesn't matter if the economy is good or bad, whatever. That is our main task. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do want to thank you for your grace to us this morning. We thank you for your words in the Bible. We thank you that your words to us are very clear. We just pray that through your Spirit you will indeed help us to understand, and that you will help us to apply your word to our lives. Father, we pray that you will bless each and every one here this morning. Father, our context, our jobs, our families are all different. Father, you know our needs. We pray that whatever they are, that you will meet those needs. We pray that you will empower us as individuals, also as a church, to be your witnesses. Father, we continue to pray for your guidance as we are looking to your future for our ministry here at Southside. Father, we face challenges. We face some uncertainties. We pray that you will be with us. We pray that you will guide us in every decision. And we pray that whatever may come, that we will experience your power, the power of the Spirit, and so be able to be witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in his precious name. Amen.